It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Over 3 years ago, citing the need to draw attention to the plight of suffering animals, particularly pet dogs and cats, State Representative Dom Costa of Stanton Heights introduced legislation that would stiffen penalties for animal abusers. Mr. Costa has reintroduced the bill twice since, but no progress has been made. On January 21st of this year, his bill was moved back to the House Judiciary Committee. That same day, police and employees of the Western Pennsylvania Humane Society rescued an emaciated pit bull mix from a Homewood apartment. Animal rights advocates point to this case as the latest example of why abusers need to face more serious charges than those currently available. I'm joined now by phone by State Representative Dom Costa. Dom Costa, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
All right, thank you very much, Paul. I appreciate it, and I appreciate the opportunity to be on your radio program.
And also joining us in studio is Mary Withrow. She is Director of Government and Community Relations at the Humane Society of Western Pennsylvania. Mary Withrow, good to have you with us.
Good to be here. Thank you.
You can join the conversation at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email is ESSPGH at WESA.FM and on Twitter at ESSPGH. Should animal abusers face tougher penalties under the law? 412-246-2002 is the number to call. And do you think that stricter penalties would be a deterrent to animal abusers? Again, the number 412-246-2002. Mary Withrow, how widespread is animal abuse in Western Pennsylvania?
Unfortunately, Paul, it's very widespread, from neglect and abandonment and cruelty to dogfighting. Dogfighting is very prevalent in Western Pennsylvania and Pennsylvania as a whole.
Do you think a lot of people are aware of that?
I don't think people, I get to see things every day. I really don't think that people realize how bad it is out there, right in our own backyard.
We associate dogfighting with southern states. You're saying it happens here. Where does it happen?
Absolutely.
Who's doing it?
It's all over Western Pennsylvania. And when you think about some of the biggest players in the United States reside in Pennsylvania, it's a serious problem in PA. I really don't think people realize in different communities, even in our part of the state, how prevalent it is.
What laws are currently on the books to deal with animal abusers?
Well, currently, of course, there's House Bill 113, which is Dom's bill.
But what's currently on the
books? Oh, currently on the books.
In other words, if the police arrest someone who is an animal abuser, what are they going to face?
Pretty much a summary offense in, I would say, 95% of the cases.
So like a misdemeanor?
Not even a misdemeanor. A summary, which actually it's called a non-traffic citation, does not come with a criminal record. If you go through a red light, you're probably going to get the same thing, but you're probably going to end up with some points or something. This person is going to have a slap on the wrist, maybe a fine, and they're on their way.
Representative Costa, explain your proposed Angel's Law, why you feel harsher punishments are needed for animal abusers.
Well, as Mary stated, in my former career was 28 years in law enforcement, and I, too, have seen many cases where dogs were left out and animals were left out, frozen to death and things like that in the winter. And it's not all abuse, but it is abuse because you're not caring for the animal properly. And when you say what laws are currently on the books, matter of fact, the law that I have introduced is making the current law stronger. I didn't reinvent the wheel. What I did is I took and I looked at that current law, and I said the summary offense is like nothing. And again, you run a red light, you get 3 points. Okay, you get nothing extra here. It's defined in the law. A red light is this, speeding is this, but this here is up to a district judge. And what happens is when they bring the summary offense up to a district judge, suppose the first offense is in Penn Hills, the second, then the perpetrator moves to Shaler Township, and he does the same thing. He or she does the same thing. Then the charges are brought again. They go to a summary offense. They go into a magistrate's hearing there, a district judge, And that district judge does not know that it occurred in Penn Hills. So one of our biggest problems with the current law is a tracking system. Now, people were saying we need a registry and things like that. Well, a registry would be fine, but number one, we'd have to set it up. Number two, who's going to pay for it? Who's going to control the registry? With current law and my former occupation, I felt that if I took the current law and made the summary offenses misdemeanors, then there we have two things we've accomplished. We have a stronger law for when they do initially do it. Number one, there's a, more of a charge and more of a penalty to pay. Number two is there's a tracking system. Because currently, you get arrested for something, if it's a misdemeanor, you have to be fingerprinted and photographed. And whether you live in Penn Hills, Shaler, if you commit a crime again, you're going to be arrested, especially if it's an animal under, you know, House Bill 113, you'll be arrested again, be it a summons, which would make you go to the magistrate's office, or district judge, as they're called now, and the district judge would know immediately that this is your second offense. And that then it bumps all the charges up again under the second offense, third offense. So pretty soon you are at a felony level.
Well, one of the questions that I'm sure comes up is, are tougher laws really a deterrent when it comes to animal abuse? The people that are doing these kinds of things, inflicting, your point earlier was well taken, Representative Costa, that some of these people don't know necessarily, or they're not intending to inflict harm on an animal, despite the fact that harm is coming to an animal under their supervision because of their neglect. But someone who does some of the unspeakable things that are done to dogs and cats, or engages in things like dog fighting, I mean, isn't there a mentality there that a tougher law, it could be argued, is not going to change?
Well, no, I believe it will change some of their thoughts, because now it gives the courts the ability to sentence them to jail time, serious jail time. Before, the way it was a summary that would have to build up to it. So two or three times, then they would usually get out of their step aside and have somebody else do it, the dog fighting and things like that. Let's face it, your people that are doing this for profit, just like drugs, they know that the crimes are out there. They know that the sentencing guidelines are out there, and they know what they face. But they're willing to take the risk because of the money involved. Those people we'll deal with. I mean, but what I'm trying to deal with is the people that do it every day, that leave their animals out, the people that do abuse their animals. And being a former law enforcement officer, I've seen it, and I've studied some of this stuff, that people that constantly abuse animals are your Jeffrey Dahmers and things like that. They are more likely to become a serial killer or a killer, because if they have that mentality that they will abuse something that has no ability to protect or voice opposition, they'll do it. And they'll do it. If they'll do it to an animal, they'll do it to a human being, be it a child, be it a woman. So I think it's important that we start tracking these people. It's so important that the FBI now is tracking them also.
Well, certainly that would seem to be something that might deter someone from, as long as you brought up Jeffrey Dahmer, I mean, he clearly knew that homicide was something that he could face a jail sentence for, yet he went on to do it anyway. Mary, can you speak to the mentality of the people that abuse animals? It seems to go beyond simple human cruelty.
It does. And if you think about, the statistics that in households where there is child abuse, 88% of the time there's animal abuse. Also, Pennsylvania, I think, is number two in recorded cases of child abuse. And what we see, where I can say from the point of view when you're trying to prosecute somebody, from like at the Western Pennsylvania Humane Society, our investigations department, it's so difficult with the way that the law is now. I mean, you look at the dog that was left for dead at the 7-Eleven right behind our shelter. That dog was there for 12 hours with basically a slit throat. That was a summary offense. We couldn't even go for a misdemeanor. So if we could wipe out the misdemeanor, I do think it'll make a difference, because right now they're really getting nothing. They may not even pay their fine. They may not show up or not. If we have a misdemeanor, that's a heck of a lot more serious. And they do have to show up in court. It gives us a lot more power, too.
It's the Central Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We're talking about animal abuse and the abuse that occurs of animals in western Pennsylvania and how it's potentially going to be dealt with by Representative Dom Costa, who has proposed legislation for stricter penalties for animal abusers. Also taking part in the conversation with us here in studio is Mary Withrow, Director of Government and Community Relations at the Humane Society of Pennsylvania. 412-246-2002 to join the conversation. Let's start with Sylvia in Wexford, who's with us on the phone. Hi, Sylvia. Welcome to the conversation.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Representative Costa, I know Jay, and I don't know if you're older or younger, but I love your family. Thank you for representing this bill and presenting this to the House. Can you tell me why, what the opposition says and why they have not gotten on board with this?
Well, yeah, Sylvia, thank you for calling in. Thank you for the compliments. And yes, I'm older than Jay, but he's been up there longer than me. So, but basically, I met with Chairman Ron Marsico. He's the majority chair of the Judiciary Committee. That's where it's sitting. I met with him last Wednesday. And it was coincidental because I had a meeting set up with him about 3 weeks. And a lot of it had been based on the budget. We just couldn't get it. We couldn't get the time to get in there to actually do it. So he had a few concerns. But once I expressed my reasons and addressed his concerns, he's fine with it. And he assured me that we will be moving Angel's Law soon. Naturally, there are some laws that we're moving, some bills we're moving, that are about people, you know. And let's face it, I love animals. I have two in my home. I've always had dogs, and but we have to do the ones for people, their priority first, okay? And then we'll do that. But the meeting went very well. We are setting it up. He's looking at the schedule to see when we can get it moving. And I'm guessing within the next month or so, we will be moving, Hospital 113, the Angel Law.
Okay, so it sounds like there is some progress being made, because it had been, wasn't it the legislation that you're proposing moved back into committee?
Well, it was moved to committee, right? And that's where it's sitting right now,
okay.
Sitting in the Judiciary Committee. But it has to come up before the committee. I do have the votes in the committee, I know I do,
okay,
to move it out onto the House floor. And at that time, once it moves onto the House floor, there's not a big appropriations problem with it, so it should move right through, and then it should go to the Senate. And at that time, I'm hoping that we can put another drive on. And a lot of the senators I've talked to, it's a bipartisan bill, are on board that want to move the bill. And then at that time, once it goes to the Senate, then we will need to talk to the chairman of that committee to try to move it onto the Senate floor from there.
412-246-2002, the number to call. Let's go to Robert in Mount Pleasant. Hi, Robert. You're on with Dom Costa and Mary Withrow.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I'd like to ask a question. I know a couple other states are doing it, and I don't know if you've already answered this, but are there going to be stronger laws or a law, in fact, about people leaving their animals locked in a car, maybe while they're in the store in a parking lot somewhere?
I'd like to answer that.
Go ahead.
If I could. There is a we just did an ordinance in Pittsburgh back in July, which gives the authority to law enforcement or EMS workers, fire department, and animal control to get into a car where there is a dog in danger, either whether it's lack of ventilation or heat or cold. And then the state cruelty statute would prevail in what they would be charged with. That's something that I would like to see go statewide. There have been a couple bills proposed. I'd actually like to see Dom introduce one, because I think we could probably get it moving. But I think the Pittsburgh ordinance is a good one. It just gives the authorization to get into the car and get the animal. And the condition of the animal, then the state cruelty statute will apply.
And we had a caller from Mike from Plum, who could not stay on the air, but said that he does not think increasing the penalties will help the animals. It will just put people in jail. He says we need to educate people on the matter. So this would speak to the question that I had earlier, Representative Costa, about, and Mary, feel free to chime on this as well, about whether the stricter penalties are really going to deter people. For example, when people who are opposed to capital punishment point to that as not being a deterrent to murder, that the advocates of capital punishment say that it is. I don't know if that's a fair comparison, but what clearly what this individual is saying is that, you know, you may inflict harsher penalties on people, you may throw them in jail, but is that enough? Are they going to be thinking enough about the penalties that are out there to not act in a cruel way toward an animal?
Well, I think basically I understand where the gentleman's coming from, and I agree with him to a point. But I think what we need to do is be able to identify these folks. Once they get in front of a district judge, the district judge can order a lot of different things. Now, if it's a first offense, the district judge can resolve it right there, okay? But the important thing is, even if it's resolved right there, we still have a record that that person has been arrested for that crime, which we didn't have before. We didn't have that ability. So now if it goes from a Penn Hills district judge to a Shaler district judge, the next time the district judge can identify that. Now, that if that district judge moves it on to court, the courts can order training, can order anything, counseling for that person. Can say, listen, you can never own a dog again, you know, or another animal, if that's the case. But without that tracking system, that same person can go and think that they, oh, it's no big deal, it just happened to this dog, and oh, it's no big deal, it happened to this dog, you know. And it's not that we're saying that everybody's a criminal. Some people don't understand. But we still have to be able to, and again, working with the Humane Society and stuff like that, this isn't just about punishing somebody. This is about correcting the situation. Right.
Correcting behavior.
Exactly. And the Humane Society does a phenomenal, phenomenal job. Mary is up there, and she comes to Harrisburg a lot. She's always going around to the district's office. She's a remarkable individual when it comes time to defending, you know, basically animals that can't speak for themselves. They are the voice of the animals.
Thanks,
and me, it's a perfect combination, because me with my former career, you know, a police officer protects. You don't like bullies, you don't like this. Well, that's what it's about. It's about protecting. And it's about having a voice and protecting those in, you know, animals too, that can't protect themselves.
And Mary, what about the idea that you can help? And certainly Representative Costa brings up an important point, that it is important to be able to identify these individuals, to identify the repeat offenders.
Right.
But what about reforming an individual's habits or thinking of, or even of instilling empathy? And I think about the case of Michael Vick, who a lot of people have criticized. There are those who doubt his intentions. But after he was jailed for being involved in dogfighting, he became an animal rights advocate. And he even lobbied in Pennsylvania at the Capitol this year for the very laws you were talking about not leaving animals in hot cars in the summertime, imposing stricter penalties for people that neglect animals in that way. So is he an example of somebody that can be reformed?
I mean, I think it's from, and to answer another part of the question from the caller, it's on both ends. I think that there's a lot more that needs to be done as far as education, starting young. And people need to remember that in Allegheny County, there are only two humane police officers. So there are only two people enforcing the state cruelty statute for the state of Pennsylvania. So we're overworked, and, you know, there's a lot to do. But, you know, our goal when we're sent out on a call is to first see if we can educate the person, try to keep the pet in the home. So we give them all the tools that we possibly can. And if it means that we have to come back in a few days, or we come back in a week and make sure that you've done the things that you need to do, and you wouldn't believe how many people just don't know that it's not okay to leave a dog outside when it's 10 degrees.
Really?
Honestly. I mean, and some of the people, we call them repeat offenders. Since the city of Pittsburgh instituted the anti-tethering ordinance, the repeat offenders are not leaving their dogs outside when it's below 32 or it's over 90. So I think, but I think we need to do a lot more on both ends as far as educating people and even our kids. And then, you know, to the people who have committed crimes against animals, there's not enough being done to rehabilitate those people or to see, you know, why did you do that or what is it? But we're constantly on every call taking the opportunity to educate people.
We need to take a break, but when we come back, we'll continue with Mary Withrow, also Representative Dom Costa. We'll get to your calls. Joe and Hopewell Holding, we'll get to you and more on this discussion about animal abuse and how Pennsylvania should deal with it at the state and local level. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and we are talking about animal abuse and how the state should deal with it. Our guests include Representative Dom Costa of Stanton Heights, who's introduced legislation that would stiffen penalties for animal abusers. Also with us is Mary Withrow, Director of Government and Community Relations at the Humane Society of Pennsylvania, of Western Pennsylvania. And you can join the conversation at 412-246-2002. Let's go to Joe in Hopewell with a question. Hi, Joe. Welcome.
Yes. Congressman Murphy's been on the air about talking about mental illness and also areas like gun control and having lists on. I think when we have, I think the legislation should include that if a person is convicted of this summary offense or any other new offense in the future, it should include definitely some abuse education and some abuse rehabilitation, and possibly if you don't do it, then you will be put on a list like that to prevent you from having a gun that can harm an animal or another person, because it has been proven in studies by the FBI and other psychological experts at Justice that when you hurt animals, you end up hurting human beings later on in life.
Well, and certainly Dom Costa mentioned that connection. Representative Costa, what about what Joe is saying about people who abuse animals, and should they get a mental evaluation?
See, all that can, you know, one thing about the bill now is by tracking people, all that can be ordered by the court. See, if I put more into the bill, the more I put into it, the harder it is to get passed, because then you have opposition from different groups because of this, because of that. They'll say, because I'm taking this drug, does that make me incompetent? So the idea is to just retweak the bill that's there, that the initial law, okay, bring the actual changes to the law as far as the, the violations, making a summary a misdemeanor, and then making it trackable. Because by making it trackable, it gives the courts a lot more authority to do what they need to do, because they have the evidence in front of them that this person has been before the courts before, where prior to this, or currently, they do not have that.
I want to bring another voice into the conversation, a fellow by the name of Dan Rossi, who is the executive director of the Animal Rescue League. He is on the line with us now. Mr. Rossi, welcome to the conversation with Representative Dom Costa and Mary Withrow. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks
Hi,
for
Dan.
Having me.
Dan, would you take us through the steps of the Animal Rescue League's involvement if there are allegations of animal abuse?
It's a little complex, but it depends on what people are seeing. For example, there is a new ordinance in the city of Pittsburgh that Mary mentioned related to reporting pets that are left out in the cold. So animals that are outside in the cold for more than 30 minutes if the temperature falls below 32 degrees, and also an extreme heat above 90 degrees. City of Pittsburgh residents should call the animal control facility or the local city police, and they will go check that out. If it is a situation that those officers deem necessary to remove that animal, they will do so, either bringing it to the Animal Rescue League or over to the Humane Society or out to Animal Friends, depending on which facility is closest.
And I was going to say, once an animal is rescued, are you still involved with the police investigation?
Yes, very much so. So during that process, you know, the first thing we do is always make sure that pet has the medical care that it needs. So that's our first line of action, is to provide any medical care that animal may need right away. For the most part, we will take evidence pictures while that animal is with us. If there is some sort of trow or something going on, we will actually hold that animal, typically not at our sites, usually off-site in a secure location, while that trow or situation is going on. After the trow is done, if it's deemed that that animal can go back to its owner, we will return it back to that owner. But often, in many of these situations, it's deemed that that's not an appropriate situation for that animal. So we will all work to readopt that animal out.
And what happens when a rescued animal is in your care?
You know, it goes through that whole process. We make sure it's medically stable. Of course, being about pet overpopulation, any animal that is transferred into our care to be adopted out gets spayed or neutered. We make sure temperament-wise that it has a good temperament and can be adopted out, and then we start the adoption process.
It seems we've been seeing more stories of animal abuse in the media here in the Pittsburgh region, Dan. Has this increased your workload at the Animal Rescue League?
I wouldn't say that it has increased it. Our workload has been extremely high for years. I just think there's more awareness out there. As Mary mentioned, literally daily, weekly, the situations we see coming into our shelters are heartbreaking. The abuse, whether it's on purpose or just neglect, is unbelievable.
Dom Costa, where does Pennsylvania stand in terms of its animal abuse laws compared to other states?
Compared to other states, I think we're a little bit behind.
We're number 44.
Right.
You know, 44 out of 50.
It can always be better. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous that we haven't put more emphasis on this. And, you know, I mean, we are, but one of the things you have to understand, say like the city ordinance that was just passed, Mary did a great job, and I commend the city council and the mayor for signing that ordinance. In rural areas, it's very difficult because there's a lot of farmland and there's a lot of concerns. They have this, they have that, and we tried a tethering law, and again, it shows the same thing. So trying to jump those hurdles is very difficult. That's why I think with the bill that we have going statewide with Angel's Law, we'll have a tracking system on those who truly abuse. And the Humane Society, Pennsylvania Humane Society, Western Pennsylvania, they do a phenomenal job of monitoring these things and lobbying Harrisburg for these laws. I have a lot of my colleagues on both sides of the aisle. I mean, we are trying, but it just doesn't seem. I think what's helping us the most is the Humane Society and the people out there bringing this to the attention. And radio shows like yours doing this and making people aware, because the more people that are aware, the more people that get on board to assist us to try to move these laws forward. And that's what we need. We need people who vote to go out there and tell their representatives, listen, this is what I want. And you'll get it. You know, you will get it done.
With the passing of Angel's Law, that could bump us up a lot. We're considered number 44. That's the bottom tier. There's the states behind us are basically mostly in the South. What's looked at to rank a state is how many crimes against animals are a felony. What is your rehabilitation process like? So there's, how many crimes do we have in Pennsylvania that are considered felonies against animals? Really just dogfighting or cockfighting. But the more felony charges that you have, and also adding dogfighting to the RICO, our state racketeering, that's another, and that has been proposed by Representative Harhi, to add RICO, to add dogfighting to RICO. All of those would improve the state of the union for our animals in Pennsylvania. It's not good right now.
And what advancements has the Western Pennsylvania Humane Society seen in recent years to better combat this problem, Mary?
I can say that, I worked really hard with the city of Pittsburgh to pass the anti-tethering ordinance, and then worked with Senator Alloway in Harrisburg. He adopted the exact same language. That has passed through the Senate. I testified before the PA Senate. It passed unanimously before the Senate. It also sits in the House Judiciary Committee. We have the hot car ordinance in Pittsburgh now. I've testified in a number of other municipalities in Pennsylvania on behalf of whether it's, you know, a heat-related or weather-related car ordinance or it's tethering. So it's kind of it's passing around the state slowly. So we've been, you know, we've had the hot car ordinance, we've had anti-tethering, we've had a rally for Dom's bill. That, to me, House Bill 113, Angel's Law, is the most important bill on the books right now. That has to move. That will affect every companion animal in the state.
The Ohio FBI recently launched a database to track animal abusers. And you talked about this, Dom, this and Mary as well, the idea of tracking people who abuse animals. In a place where, like Ohio, where this is already being done, what are we seeing in terms of the impact that this has, that this is having on animal abuse enforcement?
Well, I believe in Ohio it hasn't been in place long enough to give us any true impact. But I can tell you from my experience that it will have an impact. If we're able to track somebody for doing something, it will definitely have an impact. It'll pick out the people who are blatant disregard for animals, and it'll pick out the people who just don't really know. And it'll be not just statewide. You're going into a criminal system, which if the FBI kicks your name up, it's going to show that you've been arrested for this. That's the important thing. It'll be countrywide, across the United States. If you get arrested in California and you've done it twice here, they're going to know it.
Dan Rossi, what are your thoughts about the tracking that we're seeing in other states that will possibly soon be coming to Pennsylvania and the idea of a national database so that people are not just being tracked from town to town in a particular state, but from state to state?
Yes, it would make our lives so much easier, you know, especially in this region where we have so many small municipalities. You know, what is law here in the city of Pittsburgh, you know, you go over into the border into Wilkinsburg, and it's different. So to have a statewide laws in place where, you know, all of our region are under the same rules and regulations would be a lot more easier to maintain, a lot less confusing to the different residents around us. You know, the Humane Society, Animal Friends, and the Animal Rescue League, we maintain do not adopt lists of people that we know should not have animals, have done things, and we share those amongst ourselves. To have a larger list out there, and that list is sort of developed between the three organizations from our own experiences. If we could add to that and know that when we're adopting out an animal, that we're fairly really good and secure in knowing that it's going to a good home, that would help us out tremendously as well.
Dan Rossi, I want to thank you for joining our conversation again. Dan Rossi is the executive director of the Animal Rescue League. Thanks for jumping in here with us for a few minutes. We appreciate
thanks.
It.
Thanks for having me.
You
great
bet.
Great guy.
412-246-2002 if you want to join the conversation, this part of the conversation, in the few minutes that we have remaining. Coming up, we will be talking about why we sometimes seem to care more when an animal is killed as opposed to a human. What kind of emotional activity, what kind of psychology is involved in that reaction? That's coming up in our next segment. But if you want to talk about the animal abuse situation and how it should be dealt with, 412-246-2002 is the number to call to join our conversation with Mary Withrow, who is Director of Government and Community Relations at the Humane Society of Western Pennsylvania. Also with us on the line is Representative Dom Costa of Stanton Heights, who has introduced legislation, a bill that would stiffen penalties for animal abusers. Again, the number 412-246-2002. I mentioned at the outset of the segment and of the program, in fact, Mary, that there was this case that came up on January 21st, the day that police and employees of your organization, the Western Pennsylvania Humane Society, that they rescued an emaciated pit bull mix from a Homewood apartment. And we heard about how horribly this dog was treated. It's been a few weeks since that happened. How is that animal doing?
She's actually, that's Effie. she had to go to PVSEC, which is a wonderful emergency hospital that we have in Pittsburgh. Her body score, there's a body a condition score that veterinarians use. She was a one, so she couldn't have been much worse and still be alive. I can't even tell you, I don't think people really even want to see photos of her. She's been in the hospital since that time. Actually, she's being released today. The reason she was there for so long is she has no body fat. She cannot maintain a healthy body temperature. So they feel that she's finally stable as far as her body temp now. Her food is increasing daily. She's put on a couple pounds. That has to be done slowly because she was so severely emaciated. So she's improving. She had surgery that removed quite a few foreign objects from her stomach. She had been eating whatever she could.
Just to try to stay alive.
Yeah, I mean, fabric and plastic and orange peels. And it's so sad to watch her now. We have to pick up the garbage cans, and I was just visiting her the other day, and she walks around the room in search of food constantly. Mm. I know that's a behavior that we can work with, and at the Western PA Humane Society, we can do that. But she's coming along. She's going to be okay. But we are, we're going to go as high as we can on that case. In my opinion, that was torture. That was mental and physical suffering, and that's torture. And that does put you into a misdemeanor level in Pennsylvania.
Dom Costa, do you point to incidents like this in trying to convince other legislators to go along with your bill?
Yes, I do. I certainly do, because people like this, unfortunately, have done this, and they've moved from area to area. Again, I think the most important component of my bill is the tracking ability, and it doesn't cost taxpayers any additional money. And I think by doing that, you're identifying these folks before they get to a point where, because Lord knows how many animals this suspect has done this to before, that have died, and he just threw them in the trash or something, So we have to find that. Unfortunately, we had that Good Samaritan that had the, know-with-all to report it, and that's what we have to do. We have to make
it, please,
where people will report these things.
And what some people might say, and I certainly don't buy into this argument, but the argument some may make as well, it's an animal, it's not a person. So is part of your job, Mary, and you just showed me that picture of Effie and how emaciated she was and the way her ribs are so pronounced on her little body after going through what you described as torture. It's part of it just trying to get people to dealing with this is getting people to realize that, these lives are just as important as those of you and I.
They are. And when you think about an animal, I mean, could anything be more innocent? They have no voice. They can't tell you they're sick. They can't tell you they're hurting. So I think that, while, crimes against anything is not good, but to something that is defenseless and completely dependent on us to care for them, I think it just is something that can really tug at your heartstrings. It's a little animal that has no say.
Well, it's certainly something that is a problem in our community, and we've been talking about the fact that it exists and how it's being dealt with and how potentially it can be dealt with, perhaps in a more effective way, with Representative Dom Costa, who is, again, a state representative from Stanton Heights, who has introduced legislation that would stiffen penalties for animal abusers. Also with us talking about the problem of animal abuse and how it should be dealt with is Mary Withrow, Director of Government and Community Relations at the Humane Society of Pennsylvania. Thank you so much, both of you, for being with us to talk about this significant problem in our society.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you very much for, airing this for us. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a very important thing, as Mary said, and we have to be the voices of these defenseless animals.
And thanks, Dom, for all that you do.
Mary, also thank you.
Coming up, why do we sometimes seem to care more when an animal is killed as opposed to a human? That's Essential Pittsburgh's next segment on 90.5 WESA.